98 FM. Now that's what I call sport podcast.
It's a very big welcome to Now That's What I Call Sport on 98 FM.
98 FM. Now That's What I Call Sport with Jamie Moore.
Hello there, good morning. You are very welcome to the That's What I Call Sport here on Dublin's 98 FM. Just after 9 a.m. and we've got a packed show for you between now and 10. We'll be joined by the Dublin manager, Jim Gavin, after his team really turned on the style against Cork last night.
It's an interesting question.
New Chelsea manager Frank Lampard will give us an exclusive interview after his team faced St Patrick's Athletic at its sold out Richmond Park yesterday.
Now, speaking of training, some great photos of you in the bib doing the rondos in training. Will there be a player manager in Frank Lampard?
No, that's certainly not. The modern manager, the player manager role, I think is pretty much gone, particularly at the top end. There's too much to do and I'm too slow and it's too old. But I do enjoy getting involved here and there in training, but not too much, no, nothing happening.
We'll be finding out about jumpers for goalposts in just a second. Look ahead to a massive week in Europe for the Irish clubs, with men from Shamrock Rovers and St Pat's on the line. And then it's all about the under-19 European Championship finals, which kick off in Armenia tomorrow. Boys in Green, Andy Lyons, Brian Maher and Oisin McEntee will join us in studio ahead of their first game against Norway. But what do they do to keep themselves occupied away from the football?
It's like team bonding, really, isn't it? I remember when we were away in Russia, we decided to set up our own FIFA tournament, so everyone, the team got involved. The teams are pulled out of the hat.
Brian was knocked out first round,
and I was knocked out first round as well. So,
shock, I didn't get knocked out first round. So,
we'll also round up what else is going on, including the Wimbledon and Cricket World Cup finals, and why it's been a great week for Knockline United.
98 FM. Now that's what I call sport.
Now, the boys in blue had a great night at Croke Park last night, and I was there to watch them do it. Finished Dublin 5 goals and 18 points, Cork 1 goal and 17 points in front of 30,214 fans in the Croke Park evening sunshine. Dublin have begun their All-Ireland Super 8s campaign by hammering Cork in the end. 5 goals for the boys in blue mean a 13-point winning margin. Cork had started the better of the two teams and led 4 points to nil after 6 minutes, but once the defending All-Ireland champions got going, they really got going. Jack McCaffrey's goal in the 11th minute was followed up by another from Michael Darragh-McCauley on the stroke of half-time. The Dubs led by 6 at the break. Cork made it a 2-point game in the 46th minute when Luke Connolly smashed his penalty beyond Stephen Cluxon, but that was as good as it got for Ronan McCarthy's Rebels. The Dubs really turned on the style in the closing minutes, getting 3 goals in 4 minutes on 63, 65 and 67. First Niall Scully, then Kieran Kilkenny before the pick of them from Brian Fenton, who smashed his shot into the top corner after a trademark burst forward. 11 different scorers for the boys in blue, including free-kick expert Dean Rock, who was a second-half sub, showing their embarrassment of riches. Final score, Dublin 5 goals and 18 points, Cork 1-17. Both teams back here again next weekend. It's Cork against Tyrone and Dublin against Roscommon. With Dublin's Jim Gavin. Jim, your views of the last 10 minutes of the game, 3 goals in 5 minutes to add some gloss to the score and then some fantastic goals, 5 in the end and a good win.
Yeah, it certainly was. We were grateful that the guys took those opportunities. I think it was a really close game up to then. Cork started off really well and got 6 points in the spin. We probably had an opportunity for a penalty in between that didn't go away, and that's just the rub of the green in these games. But I thought the guys responded really well to that Cork challenge and went up a couple of points at half time. They came back hard in the second half, close to 3, and again our guys responded really well. And as you say, we kept trying to create those opportunities, which is really pleasing from the coaching staff to see, and then to be executing them as well is an added bonus. So this final scoring probably doesn't reflect the closeness of the game, but I think both sides were just trying to get 2 points on the board tonight, and we're glad it's for Dublin.
Yeah, 11 different scorers overall, 5 different goal scorers, and that probably shows the strength of your team. You're able to bring Dean Rock off the bench, probably the best free taker in the country, to score a couple as well, and of the goals you could probably pick all of them as your favourite. Just some unbelievable finishes
there was. Yeah, and I think you have to give credit to Cork as well. They had 11 different scorers and they scored 48 coming into this game, so it's but from our perspective, you'd have to be pleased with that spread of scores. It's a challenging role that we have to select a 26. We had another 10 guys that didn't travel today, and I suppose the most impressive part of this Dublin squad is their ethos for each other and to represent Dublin, the communities and the clubs, and they're just trying to do their best for Dublin GAA. And again, there was a serious intent there this afternoon by them, and it's just a privilege to work with them.
How much work
do they put in and do you guys put in too, the skill, the combinations, the ability to move the ball so quickly, have so many different people involved in a short space of time, which means the opposition can't live with you really?
Yeah, listen, most of our training is game based. We practice relentlessly the skills of the game. That's what club football is in Dublin. It's a skill-based game. It's the guys would have grown up with that culture in their clubs, and we just put a little bit of polish on top of them. So absolutely, it's something that we go hard after. Some days we get right, some days we don't, and hopefully we keep creating those opportunities. That's the main thing from a management and coaching perspective. And if that keeps happening, hopefully we'll get the goals. But looking forward to into the Roscommon game. We had a really tough game with them again in Hyde Park. They were very impressive again. Very, very skillful team, very athletic team, very strong. It's going to be a tough, tough game. So we're just going to, recover as quickly as we can and then put our eyes on Roscommon.
Yeah, I'm sure your focus is on that now straight away. How does the week work for yourself and the players from this game finishing on Saturday evening to next Saturday at 7 o'clock in terms of how often they're in, how much video work do you do, and how often do you have them to try and get them ready for another big match?
Yeah, the big thing is all these guys go back, including the Roscommon players and Tyrone players and everybody else, they all go back to work on Monday. So, there's obviously recovery needs to be squeezed in there at some stage, but we'll get back together for one or two sessions next week, and there's some guys that will have got a lot of game time there today. As I said, there's a whole host of the guys that didn't and will want to train hard in preparation, trying to get onto the match day squad. So there's various elements to it, but I suppose above all, it's just trying to get over the next couple of days with look at the injuries, whatever we've picked up, and just try and prepare as best we can for Roscommon.
And lastly, how exactly do you keep all the players somewhat happy, given you can only pick 15? You mentioned that there was, 9 or 10 players not even on the bench today, and they'll all come into training this week. But how do you keep them happy? Is it, one-to-one chats? Is it, overall group stuff? Because there's so many good players, I'm sure some of them are knocking on your door going, I want to be playing.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I suppose the overall philosophy of the group and the culture of the group is that they all have made a choice. They all have jobs to go to on Monday morning. They've got family commitments, but they've all made a choice to commit themselves to Dublin GA, and that's representative sport in its purest form, and the pride that they take to put that sky blue jersey on. I know a good few of the guys have been involved in the summer camps, and you'd hear them talking about the great fun they've had with the next generation of kids coming up, and whether it's water fights or just having the crack with them, and that's where they really get enjoyment from it, and is that representative piece. And they all come from the four corners of the county. There's over close to 20 clubs represented in the squad, but when they all come together under the banner of WGA, it makes, I suppose, in some way the disappointment of not travelling a little bit easier to take. But listen, I know they all want to play, they all want game time, and to their internal credit, they're all pushing so hard for it.
Jim, thanks a million, well done.
For sure.
Yeah, the Dubs boss, Jim Gavin. Nathan, still wearing his boots during the interview, about 45 minutes after the game. He was still in the boots, looking like he was ready for action himself.
Rumour has it he sleeps in those boots. He stays ready, Jim Gavin.
Well, he probably does. And yeah, really good stuff there about keeping his squad somewhat happy. Like, imagine having 35 players who you could pick in your 15 and having to leave 10 of them not even on the bench.
One of which is Bernard Brogan. So it just goes to show that it works. It keeps that mentality and the hunger driven within that Dublin team.
Yes, now the boys in blue, not the only people in blue in action this weekend.
They weren't, and Dublin Camogie came up short in their Liberty Ireland Senior Camogie Championship. They lost 111 to 9 points against Tipperary. So unfortunate there for the girls in blue.
Yes. Anything else for me at this moment, Nathan? Is that it for now?
That is it for this moment.
We will
moment.
Be doing our stuff on Knock Line and also the Wimbledon and the Cricket World Cup finals in a few minutes' time. You're on the That's What I Call Sport on 98FM. It's Jamie Moore with you every Sunday morning between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Very happy to welcome a man called Keith Kelly to the studio. Keith, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jamie.
Now, tell us about Jumpers for Goalposts and a tweet you put up before you joined us in studio upstairs. And it says that, here's a few words to describe it: solidarity, community, laughter, connecting face to face. It's just a game of ball.
Yeah, Jumpers for Goalposts is a new community-led movement for men of all backgrounds, races, ability to get together for an old-school game of ball. It's really that simple.
And it is that simple because it is lads playing football in a local park, and even if there are actual goals in the park, the goals are still made with the jumpers or the coats, which
we did for years and years and years growing up.
Yeah, I suppose the concept arose, I wrote a poem a couple of years ago about my childhood, because I was sitting in my garden and it overlooks the field where I grew up, where I played football for years, hours on end. And it was a summer's day, the kids were off school, and there wasn't a sinner in the park. Nothing. So I suppose I'm trying to recreate that memory and bringing people together. You know, lots of people like stuff on Facebook and this and that, but making a connection face to face, there's nothing like that, you know.
So when the idea actually came into your head from that period and that time to when the first game actually happened, bring us to that, and I'm sure you were a little nervous wondering how many people would turn up and how it would go.
Do you know, the first game was this day last year, actually. I threw out an invite. I don't drink, and sometimes you can become a little bit isolated when you don't drink. The phone doesn't ring, you know, people going out and stuff. So I said, look, it's like a trial and error base. I mean, we'll see if people turn up, and they did. It was a huge success. So I decided to do one this year that coincided with Men's Health Week. And again, I put out an invite a week. We gave through Facebook, and over 70, 80 people turned up, and it was just absolutely fantastic. And the buzz leading up to it, the buzz after it amongst the community, it's just been amazing, you know.
Irish football now, in comparison to maybe 20 years ago, when you had Robbie Keane growing up, you had Damien Duff growing up, you had all of these younger players growing up, and you know, we've spoken to people on this show recently who are maybe in their early 20s who when they were a little bit younger played street football, but as they got into their mid-teens and late teens, it just stopped. Yeah. Is that something that you've seen in your area, and you mentioned kids just not playing and that impacting on football, you know, from a wider point of view?
Yeah, I think kids who are interested in football now only play football when training's on. I just don't see kids out playing ball. Like, you know, we'd leave it 10 o'clock in the morning when your kids would be home at 10 o'clock at night, and you just have the ball and that's it. Just don't see it anymore. You know, I think there's too much coaching in football. It's where you learn your craft, isn't it, on the streets?
Mm-hmm.
That bit of goil. You see it, Robbie Keane had it, you know, in spades, didn't he?
Do kids know what Jumpers for Goalposts is? If you said to a young kid, 8 years old, Jumpers for Goalposts, let's play, would they know?
I'm not too sure, but I had a guerrilla style game yesterday where I only gave a day's notice.
Nice.
And 40 people turned up, and we had such a laugh, but people brought their kids. So hopefully, you know, monkey see, monkey deal type thing, you know.
No referees, just play and spirit of the game.
There's no real structure to it. It's just get out and play a game of ball. Just the buzz it's created, it's the ripples out where I live. It's amazing, really is.
And is there, like, you know, is it half an hour and a half? Is it four quarters? Is there any type rules at all? Offsides, anything?
No, it's no offsides, you know.
That caused chaos, probably.
If the ball's out too far, play on, you know. There's no rules, really. And length of time, you decide yourself. I mean, this guy's 50 years of age playing, so we just shout out, anyone want a water break, and that's it, we stop. But you can't stop for too long, because the guys will seize up. So it's only a couple of minutes, and you're back out, you know.
And is it 11v11, or does that depend on numbers? It can be anything.
Listen, a couple of weeks ago it ended up 17 against 12. Padraig O'Flynn was playing, ex-Shamrock Rovers, Marty Waters,
PJ. I seen they were on the team at 12, were they?
PJ O'Connell.
Nice.
Ex-Leeds United, yeah. So lads want to, they're curious, they want to get involved, you know.
So at the moment this is aimed at adults, but as you said, monkey see, monkey do, and hopefully kids, because like some parents are happier and maybe they feel safer with their kids not out in the park or not out on the road. And I remember growing up, and still to this day, my road has squares on it. It's just, it's how it's built, squares and curbs.
Yeah,
and I remember being in my local recently, the Summit Inn, and there was these kids playing curbs on the main road, and they were trying to bounce the ball off the curb to bounce back over a car to get 2 points.
Yeah.
And the barman had to go out to go, that's not safe, you can't do that anymore. But like, I'm hopefully, even as you said, some of the parents playing might bring the kids might have their own game, maybe beside the adults, whatever it might be.
Yeah, because, you know, unfortunately, I think it's too easy sometimes as a parent, if your kids are upstairs, they're staying quiet on the Xbox, to leave them there. But somewhere along the line, that causes the big problem, doesn't it? Because they're not getting out and playing. And look, like us all, I suppose, that's where we all met our friends, isn't it? Out in the street playing ball.
Absolutely. I remember playing in a in a local school where we were, and the Astro was open at the weekends, and no one was there, and you'd play and you'd hide. If the security guard came along, you'd hide behind the wall, and once he went off again, you'd keep playing, and you'd know he'd be back in another hour. You're nearly watching your watch, seeing you'd be back.
That's it. I mean, look, it's a simple concept. When we were kids, there was no mobile phones, but you got wind of it. There's a game on somewhere, didn't you? And you just arrived. And that's what's happening now with adults, you know. It's a safe space for people to chat about life and stuff, do you know?
Yeah. And a couple more games coming up in next Sunday, 21st of July, Shankill, and then in Gorey the following weekend.
We have a huge big game next week, and Joe.ie are coming out to do some coverage and videos and stuff. So, yeah, it's gathering momentum, you know. And it can only be a good thing, getting people out and doing something different, can't it?
Yeah, lastly, Keith, what's your hopes for it, and where can people find out more info?
People can find out more info on @KeithKelly97 on Twitter, and Jumpers for Goalposts Facebook page. What I hope is maybe to gather momentum and next year to organise one day and have a community everywhere in Ireland playing on the same day and sending in photos and testimonials.
Great, and the hashtag is #J4G, #JumpersForGoalposts. You can find out more at KeithKelly97. And if you just tuned in late, this interview will be podcasted, and also we're making a video as well. Keith, thanks a million for coming in. Best of luck for the rest of it, and yeah, keep it going. It's a great idea, and we love it.
Pop out one day and
definitely
join us. Yeah,
I always tell the lads I'm great at everything, golf and football. Nathan wouldn't agree, would you?
I definitely wouldn't agree. You can be one of the goalposts.
Oh, thanks. Oh, it has to be a jumper.
Jumper, yeah. A cardigan.
Keith, thanks a million.
No problem, Jamie. Thank you.
Yeah, still to come on, and that's what I call sport here in 98. The new Chelsea manager, Frank Lampard, will preview Europa League qualifiers for St. Pat's and Shamrock Rovers with Harry Kenny and Roberto Lopez, and find out how the Ireland under-19s are planning to win the European Championships in Armenia with their first game tomorrow.
98 FM. Now that's what I call sport. With the Liverpool Football Club Store, ILAC Centre. We are Liverpool. This means more. 98 FM.
Yeah, good morning. You're very welcome back to That's What I Call Sport. Nathan Whelan and Kieran Helping still beside me in studio. Nathan, I haven't seen much Wimbledon this year. I always watch it, and with everything going on in the last couple of weeks, I don't know why I haven't really seen much, but we've got men's finals today.
We do. It seems like there's a lot on now recently, though, to be honest, doesn't it? It seems it's getting drowned out. But Djokovic, the reigning champion, is through to his sixth Wimbledon final, and victory over eight-time winner Federer would give him his 16th Grand Slam title. That would take him to just 4 behind the Swiss, and at 5 years his junior, few were back against him going past well Federer's total. Federer claimed a sublime win over old rival Rafa Nadal on Friday to set up the final showdown with Djokovic. Should he win, it would be the Swiss's ninth Wimbledon title and take him to 21 Grand Slam trophies.
I would love a Federer-Nadal final. It's a shame it was in the semi, and we had the women's final yesterday.
So it was Serena Williams, again, unfortunately not able to equal the major Grand Slams. But Siona Halep, she won her first Wimbledon title, and she beat Serena Williams in straight sets 6-2, 6-2.
Now, Kieran, we had the Cricket World Cup final today. England are playing with an Irishman involved, kind of.
Yeah, kind of. So Owen Morgan, he captains the England cricket team, and he first captained England first in 2013 as a stand-in at Malahide against his former Ireland teammates. He got the job just in time for the 2015 World Cup, where England won just 2 games out of 6. Ireland actually won 3 at that World Cup. Afterwards, he insisted on changes in personnel and approach, and that led to his adopted country becoming number one in the world. He's now captained England 149 times. That's more than anyone else, and he's won 306 caps to add to his 63 for Ireland. Now, the Cricket World Cup does come to a close today after 7 weeks and 47 one-day internationals. New Zealand, they take on England in the showpiece of the Cricket World Cup. It's New Zealand versus England, probably what we might see in the Rugby World Cup final in September as well.
Yeah, best of luck to Owen Morgan in that one. Nathan, the Cerebral Palsy World Cup, we spoke to Paul Breen, the Ireland manager, last weekend on the eve of their first game in Seville. How have they got on?
Well, they've gone on with a bit of mixed results, to be honest. A win, a loss and a draw in their World Cup so far. They beat Finland 10-0 in their opening game, but lost to Iran 4-1 in their second. However, they did draw 1-0 with the USA in their third game. Attention now turns to Ireland's next game against Japan as they try to seal a top 10 finish. That game kicks off in Seville at 10 a.m. just after the show.
Yes, now the Ireland men's and women's teams in action in the World University Games enabled. Both beaten yesterday on penalties. The men beaten by France and the ladies beaten by Russia. Archery, athletics and taekwondo has also been ongoing, and more on thirdlevelfootball.ie on that one. Kieran, finally, good news for Knocklyon United. And we had them on the show last year, their chairman, Donald Skelly, about losing their pitches or losing some of them, and they've managed to keep them.
Yeah, it's been a 2-year fight for them, and Dublin Junior Soccer Club, Knocklyon United, they were celebrating this week after winning a council vote to prevent their playing pitches from from being redeveloped. So South Dublin County Council had attempted to rezone part of the club's facility at Ballycullen Park, which plays host to over 600 children, with a plan to build 27 units for social housing on the club's main pitch, which that pretty much meant the club be left with a smaller playing area. But the worst thing of all, it would have been unsuitable for actually playing football due to its size. Now, the chairman, Donald Skelly, he's been leading the charge in his battle against the council, and he said it's a great day for the community. The council voted 27 against in favour of the clubs, and he now says it means we can concentrate on football and not get dragged into stuff like this.
Yeah, great stuff. Well done to everybody in Knockline United. Now, we're going to hear from the Chelsea head coach, Frank Lampard. His team beat St Pat's 4-0 in a friendly yesterday at a packed Richmond Park. Almost 5,000 fans were there. Goals from Mason Mount, Emerson, and two from Olivier Giroud in the second half secured a 4-0 victory. And I chatted to the new Chelsea man afterwards. So, Frank, your second pre-season game in charge of Chelsea, a 4-0 victory here at Richmond Park. What was your thoughts on the game?
Good game. Good game for us. Good competition, very welcome here by the fans of both teams, and it was a good exercise for us. I appreciate from St Pat's side, because they had a game, I know, on Thursday, but they gave us a good challenge, and I thought we played pretty well. You know, we could have scored more goals, of course, but it was a good game for us.
I know in your career as a player with Chelsea, you played all over the world, and you could see the appeal of the club, and here the club probably could have sold 3 or 4 times the number of tickets, and it's a small ground, but a great atmosphere for your players to play.
It was, and as we drove up, I saw that with the fans waiting outside from the hotel where we've been staying. We've had great support with fans coming around training. I mean, I knew the size of Chelsea as a player here, but the club continues to grow for obvious reasons. We're a big club, one of the biggest clubs in Europe, always fighting for big titles as they did last year, and I want to keep that going. But yeah, we certainly appreciate the support we have all over the world.
It's not the first time you've been here. You played here all the way back in the year 2000 for West Ham. We put up a photo on social media this morning. What do you remember about that game when you were in your younger days as a hammer?
I remember the trip over here with Harry Redknapp as manager, and some of the experienced players. I think it was Neil Ruddock and that kind of era of player. I was very young, finding my way. And as our young players are finding now, pre-season is a chance to try and establish yourself and show something. So, yeah, all right, I have fond memories of being here.
It's not overly common that Premier League clubs come to play against League of Ireland teams in pre-season. How did you assess St Pat's today? As you mentioned, they did make lots of changes from the European game on Thursday.
Yeah, no, well, as I say, I can't talk down either game that we played this week. So, yeah, coming away, this trip was organised before I got the job. But in terms of facilities, in terms of the welcome we've had from people, and in terms of the two games and the competition, it's been absolutely perfect. And I'm very thankful for the people here and the people that have been here all week looking after us that have put it on so well.
How's your first couple of weeks as the manager been, and getting used to your new squad, new staff, and your new club? Well, not really a new club, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm loving it. I'm really enjoying working. I know most of the staff, but not all. But from a manager's point of view now, it's very important that I lead and I make people feel happy and ready to work every day. And then the players, you know, they've worked and done everything I've asked of them. The younger players, the international players who came back halfway through this trip almost, they've hit the ground running in training purposes, and we need to continue that going forward.
Yeah, speaking of training, some great photos of you in the bib doing the rondos in training. Will there be a player manager in Frank Lampard?
No, that's certainly not. The modern manager, the player manager role, I think is pretty much gone, particularly at the top end. There's too much to do, and I'm too slow, and it's too old. But I do enjoy getting involved here and there in training, but not too much, no, nothing happening.
And just lastly, season's getting very close. Manchester United in the first game, an interesting match for you, and former Chelsea legend and a former Man U legend in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and your focus will be on that very soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, we're working towards that. Pre-season, I always think it goes very quickly, you know, the 5 weeks, whatever it is, before you know it, it's there. So that's why the players have to work very hard now to get themselves up to a level, because we're going straight into it. Manchester United, a very, very tough game, first game, then we go to Liverpool in the Super Cup, then it's Leicester at home, this is the Premier League. We don't want to be anywhere off guard going into the start of the season, so yeah, we'll be firmly ready.
Frank, thanks a million.
Thank you, nice speaking to you.
Yeah, the views now of the St Pat's boss, Harry Kenny.
Yeah, it was a great occasion, and the place looked fabulous when it's full, and whilst the result didn't sort of go our way, they had a step up from the Bowls game, obviously, where they played most of their first team. So it was a tough task after the game we had on Thursday, but it was a certainly enjoyable occasion.
League of Ireland on 98FM. The best place on the radio for the SSE Airtricity League.
Yeah, one of the best weeks of the year, when the four Irish clubs are still in Europe after the first legs on Wednesday and Thursday in Champions League and Europa League qualifiers. Nathan Dundalk, firstly, they're heading off with... But they haven't conceded an away goal, at least.
Yes, they haven't.
Oh, I'll turn you on there. Hang on. You're there.
Hello, Jamie. Thank you.
There you are.
That's about time. But Dundalk, of course, they couldn't break down Riga FC in their Champions League qualifier. They drew 0-0 at Oriel Park. Meanwhile, in Europa League action, Cork City are also hoping to overturn a 2-0 loss versus Luxembourg side Progress, similar to St Pat's, who also suffered a 2-0 loss to Norrköping at Richmond Park. However, Saints boss Harry Kenny gave his overall views on the first leg.
Yeah, it's a tough ask, but there's no point in being in the tie if you're not going to go for it. So we'll get our plans done during the week. I'm looking forward to the game. I thought we acquitted ourselves quite well in the first leg, just gave away two sloppy goals. And football is funny like that. All you have to do is look at last season when you see Spurs and Liverpool turning over them deficits in cup football. So, you know, if we get an early goal at any stage, it sort of puts the frighteners on them a little bit, and you never know what happens.
Harry then discussed his plans for their away leg in Norway.
Yeah, we'll be training sort of Monday, Tuesday. We leave early Wednesday morning. We'll arrive over there in the afternoon. We get a bit of rest then when we arrive and a bit of food. After that, we go and do a bit of training around sort of 7:30 in the evening over there, and get up that next day and prepare for the game, and just take it easy before the game.
He also touched on their plan to go in search of that elusive away goal.
Absolutely, I've looked back at it already, and you know, we got to try and find areas of the pitch that we can hurt them. So we'll be looking at that. We won't certainly won't be going gung ho from the start of the game, because obviously the game is over 90 minutes. But we'll be looking to throw people forward if we're in the spot about it.
Despite needing to score, Kenny stressed the importance of keeping a clean sheet in a tie like this.
That's right. Well, that's the key to it. You certainly don't want to concede, because it becomes an uphill task then. But if we get a goal early, or even into the second half, there's still plenty of time. The whole stadium and the opposition get nervy. So we're hoping to do that. We hope to get the first goal and take it from there.
He finished up by explaining how they must enjoy their experience of European football while it lasts.
They're a very good team, that has to be said. Really, really good, with lots of internationals in their team. And it was particularly here at Richmond Park, they were very good, particularly in the second half, where they pulled us around a little bit. But in saying that, we acquitted ourselves quite well. They're going to play in a lovely stadium. That's an Astro pitch. So it's all different for us, and that's what Europe's about. It's an exciting time for the club, and we just need to go and try and get through the tie.
Shamrock Rovers are in the best position of the Irish sides, as they drew 2-2 with Bran in Norway in their first leg. That second leg takes place in Tallaght Stadium at 8 p.m. on Thursday. Meanwhile, a travel to Luxembourg to face Progress, that is of course Cork City. They also lost 2-0 in their first leg. St Pat's travel to Norway to face Norrköping. That game takes place at 7 p.m. All of those Europa League games take place on Thursday evening. Meanwhile, Dundalk's the Champions League qualifier's second leg takes place on Wednesday. That kickoff is at 5:30.
Yes, our League of Ireland podcast this week will be with you later on today on Sunday, as opposed to its usual date on Wednesday, because it's European week. We'd have more from Harry Kenny, the Cork City head coach John Cotter, Jamie McGrath of Dundalk as well, and this man, Roberto Lopez. Here's a sneak peek of his chat, the Shamrock Rovers man, who scored that 94th minute equaliser in Norway on Thursday, and he's been telling me about the mad celebrations.
Yeah, it was mental. As you said, I think we've had a few set pieces in that game, and then obviously I got close to one to in the first half to get our equaliser, and I was just saying to myself going up there, like, just time and time and time, because it's easy to get like carried away with the time running out, that like I just need to run into the box, and you nearly run yourself past the delivery. So it was just kind of trying to calm myself in the last few moments and say, just get a good look at the fly and go attack it. And thankfully I did manage to keep the header down, and it went in, and just after that it was just pandemonium. So I think Lee Grace came nearly rugby tacking to the ground, so I tried just to burst away, because I just had all that nervous energy after scoring, after waiting for the delivery and then scoring, just to run. And I think I ran, I tried to do a tumble, and that didn't turn out too well, but it was just brilliant. Like, it was an equaliser, but it felt like a winner. So it was great.
Yeah, players of course sometimes injure themselves, or sometimes actually it takes them 5 minutes after celebrating to actually calm down and get playing again, because you just literally ran and the players around you, and you often see players getting a sly elbow off a mate by accident where they just run into their elbow, and thankfully you avoided any serious injury in your attempted celebrations.
Yeah, exactly. I managed to dodge a few two with stray elbows and shoulders. So it was great. But yeah, I do suppose it was a great feeling because we all got to share it. And the travelling fans were ecstatic as well. You could feel the energy go on and off the pitch. And it was just brilliant to be able to share it. And for myself, it was great to be able to make up for giving away a penalty. So I was just so relieved.
Yeah, and great as well to be wearing the captain's armband. Very uncommon for a former Bowes man to be a Rovers captain, but great stuff to see Pico in the armband and scoring that goal. And it's ironic, Roberto, it'll now turn to the home leg on Thursday. I'm looking forward to being there at Tala Stadium watching it. And you'll go from being a player in the box on attack and set pieces, I'm sure you will be again, but at the other end as a defender now yourself and Lee Grace and the rest of the back four or back five, if it's a three at the back, is tasked now with stopping Brand scoring an away goal. And if you can do that, you'll be into the next round of Europe, because clearly they need to score at least two to take the game to extra time. And if you guys score, they need more than that. So now you focus on defending and making sure you keep that goal as protected as you can.
Yeah, well, obviously we tried to do that every game, to try and get a clean sheet, and that's our basis. And I think most things what we do is comes off the back of our defensive work, whether we're pressing in our shape or we're organised and we're waiting for our opportunity to press. I think we have two away goals, but that doesn't mean we can sit on our rest on what we have. Like, we need to go and attack the game, still play the game in its merit, and look for the win. Like, because it's these European games where you think you're home and joy, and you go and get spanked by a really good team. So we'll be looking to kind of approach the game the right manner. Like, it's a new leg, second only half time really. Like, so we're not looking to kind of hold on what we have. We want to go and win the game.
Roberto, how would you describe a European night in Tala, and what would you say to either Shamrock Rovers fans or any neutrals around about going to the game? Because I was at Inchicore on Thursday of last week for the St. Pat's game, and they only had the two stands open, but there was still an unbelievable atmosphere. And with the extra stand now in Tala, you know, I can't imagine Bran will bring thousands of fans over, and there is, you know, more capacity now to fill in the stadium in Tala, and you'll want it to be as full as possible to cheer you guys on Thursday.
Yeah, well, to me, it's a special night because they don't come around that often, and you get to see teams that, like, you might have never even heard of and never get the chance to see. Like, so it's right on our doorstep, and as you say, it'd be a packed Tala Stadium, which is a great sight any day of the week. And so a European night would be a great spectacle, and I'm sure we'll get a really good crowd. We'll get a really good crowd travelling. So I say there's people dying to go to the game from our end, and if anyone's lucky enough to get a ticket, like, I'm sure they'll be in for a really good game.
Yeah, Shamrock Rovers defender Roberto Lopez. That full interview with Roberto will be in our League of Ireland podcast on 98FM.com this afternoon, as well as a chat with Jamie McGrath of Dundalk, St. Pat's manager Harry Kenny, and Cork City head coach John Cotter. Plus League of Ireland legend Declan Fabio O'Brien will be with us as well. Now, just two games in the Premier Division over the weekend because of all of the European involvement. One game on Friday finished Derry City 0, UCD 0 at the Brandywell. A really good point for UCD, having won last weekend against Finn Harps and now picked up that point against Derry. They're now not bottom anymore. They're now ninth on 14 points with Hearts. Well, they do still have two games in hand, so really good stuff from the students. And one game last night, it was live on Air Sport. No goals for the lads on TV to analyse. It finished Sligo Rovers 0, Waterford FC 0, although Sligo did miss a penalty in that game. One game in the Premier Division tomorrow night, a game I'll be at the UCD Bowl. It's UCD against Bowes. That game kicks off at 7:45. In the First Division, Shelburne are still 5 points clear, but they drew 1-1 with Cabinteely. And Conan Byrne missed the last minute penalty for Shells. So that was a 2 points drop for them, but they didn't really lose it overall, because last night there was a great win for Longford, 2-1 against Drogheda. And that means, of course, the top four all played each other. So it means that Shells are on 44, Longford on 39, Drogheda on 38 and Cabinteely on 36 in the top four. The other results in the First Division on Friday: Wexford 0, Galway 0, and Cove Rambler has picked up an important 2-1 win against Athlone.
It's the greatest league in the world. League of Ireland on 98FM.
Now, on the way after the break, we're going to be joined by three of the best young players in the country ahead of the Under-19 European Championship Finals, which kick off for Ireland in Armenia tomorrow. We're going to speak about education, aims to win, and FIFA with St. Pat's Brian Maher, Bohemians Andy Lyons, and former Malahide and Belvedere player Oisin McEntee, who now plays for Newcastle. They'll be all in studio next on 98.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport. With the Liverpool Football Club Store, ILAC Centre. We are Liverpool. This means more. 98FM.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to That's What I Call Sport on 98FM. It's just 9:45 on Sunday morning in Dublin. A reminder, anything you missed from the show is in the podcast section of 98FM.com. You can listen there in full and for free. Now, the Ireland Under-19s will kick off their European Championship Finals campaign in Armenia tomorrow. It'll be over 30 degrees and higher during the games. They'll play Norway tomorrow, France on Thursday and Czech Republic this day next week. Eight teams, two groups of four, with the top two in each group making it through to the semi-final. And Ireland, the only team to win 6 out of 6 in qualifying. Now, before they headed off, I was joined in studio by three of their players, Brian Maher of St. Pat's, Andy Lyons of Bowes and Oisín McEntee, formerly of Belvedere and Malahide United, who now plays for Newcastle United. And we began by talking all things education. Brian, how would you describe the last year trying to balance football with the Pat's first team training in the mornings, 19s training in the evenings, and trying to get a good leaving cert because I know you want to go to college?
Yeah, just tiring is the word. Like, you just, you don't have a minute of the day. You're literally waking up, going to school, home, whatever, 4, half 4, going to training at 5 o'clock, home, 8 or 9, homework, all that sort of stuff, and then bed, and that's it for nearly the year. You'd barely have time to do anything else, like, especially if you're, say, when you're a full-time footballer, you do, especially even with the Ireland stuff, you fall behind a bit in school because you're missing, say, 2 weeks, 3 weeks at a time to go to the Euros and that. But, like, it's never a question of whether you're going to go to the Euros. You just have to say to yourself that when you come back, you're going to catch up. And that's the decision I made in, say, the start of 5th year and the start of 6th year. Both times I said that I was thinking about what, like, weighing up options, and I said there was no point in doing half doing the leaving cert and then leaving. So I did it, and now happy that I have it in the back pocket, and then also now have my contract.
Is it something that the school have to speak to your parents about and your club about, maybe the FAI about, because, like, there are certain rules by law how many days of school you're allowed to miss before the school has to kind of ask questions? But I'm sure if they know you're a very high level footballer, there's exceptions probably made.
Yeah, there is definitely exceptions. Like, I suppose my mum was a bit worried about that. She was expecting one of them letters in the door for missing too many days. But I think when they see why you're missing the days, it's not a big a deal. Like, I know in 4th year I missed like over 80 days or something when we were playing in the 17s Euros, so I think I missed a whole month of May of school, so, but in 4th year, it doesn't really matter. But I think once they see, once the teachers are accommodating for you, and once the Board of Education or whoever's in charge sees that you're playing with Ireland, it's not a big deal.
How would you describe the feeling of walking out after your last exam? What was that exam? And just able to put the uniform away forever and focus on football, maybe before college, but just exams done and that pressure of 2 years gone.
Yeah, definitely. It's just a weight off your shoulders. I think the weight came off my shoulders the night before when you're just finished studying. Like, you just have the exam to do, and I had economics last on the 21st of Friday. So as you're walking out, you just feel free. I suppose the stress is a little bit there about waiting for results, but I won't be thinking about that now until whatever, the middle of August. But yeah, it's definitely, it's a bit weird when you come out because you're just like all the stress for that, and then there's just, you're just nothing to do now. You feel a bit like, well, I don't have to go home and study, what am I going to do? But no, it's definitely a relief now.
So you're hoping to go to college? Maybe?
Maybe, yeah. We'll see what happens.
You've got some time just to play football and decide,
yeah.
So Andy, for you, your break into the Bowes first team and your break into being a regular Ireland player have coincided with 5th and 6th year, so probably not the best timing in terms of your workload, but you, like Brian, has had to try and manage it all, and you're also just finished your leaving cert.
Yeah, likewise, like Brian, obviously it was good to get the leaving cert done, you know, it's good to get it in the back pocket, as you said. But yeah, no, it is tough sometimes, you know, you're going from school to train and then home, bed, and then the cycle starts again, really, doesn't it? So no, but I think it's a good thing because I don't really know what I'd do with myself if you had nothing, because we train at night in Bowes, so I think it was ideal to fill the day with school and then to head off the training, really. I think it got tough when it was closer to the leaving cert, when we had to actually go from school to training and then back to study. I think that was when it was hard, but you know, I think it's a good thing to fill the day, really, you know what I mean? All your friends are in school, so you enjoy going to school. The school look after you because they know the achievements you've accomplished. And even when you go away, as Brian said, you do miss a lot of days. So I remember, I'm sure Brian was the same, but we were in Russia, and I remember the day we came back, my oral for Spanish was the next day. So you actually have to get some work done while you're abroad. Like, so it's a bit weird because, you know, obviously we're only the League of Ireland lads are really doing the leaving cert. So when we were over there, we were on the books, and the rest of the lads are playing the PlayStation or Netflix. So, you know, sometimes it is a bit different. But the work had to be done, and as I say, I'm just thankful to get it done and over with, really. Yeah.
Well, Shane, you're laughing again in the background. No leaving cert for you on a serious note.
I was busy beating Brian on FIFA. So.
Yeah, okay.
He is the worst. I reckon he's not beat anyone on the team.
We will ask about the FIFA and the ping pong in a second, but just to stay on a serious topic for now, Shane, when did you leave school in Ireland and what education have you done in the UK? And is that something that has been in your head or... You know, again, I think it's a mix with footballers that move away. Some of them try and do some sort of education. Others don't bother at all. Some pretend to do it. How have you kind of done it since you left school? Probably after your junior cert, was it?
Yeah, I left in... I'd done all of TY back in Ireland and then left after that summer. So then when I came over to Newcastle, they had a education programme set up for me to get a BTEC in sports science. So... We spent 2 years at that. It was kind of an assignments type thing. And just my two tutors helped me throughout it. And now I have that qualification now. So I think I'm going to go on to do maybe a bit more this year and go into kind of the personal training side of things. So I'm looking forward to that.
Nice. And you guys do have a lot of free time around the hotels and stuff. So you've just spoken about your abilities at FIFA. But there is lots of time around the hotel and stuff and the camp, you know, not to do team meetings and not to sleep and not to do training. So that's something important. And I'm sure it adds to the bond of the group as well, whether it be FIFA or ping pong or whatever that might be.
Yeah, definitely. We try to set things up as a group, really, just to get a little FIFA tournaments going or... just other things to involve everyone, just so nobody's really left out. So it's good. I don't really think we get bored during the rest times because we kind of need them, I feel, because there's so much information we're getting in meetings or in trainings. It's just good to get a bit of downtime and get to know people. So it helps out on the pitch as well if you know them off the pitch.
And is that something, lads, that you've seen as well, you know, in all the different squads you've been in, those type of events around the hotel really do bring the group together? And I'm sure some people like to have some downtime, but when you're around the group to have a bit of crack, Andy, and whether it be, you know, FIFA, ping pong or whatever it might be.
Yeah, no, I think it's vital. It is vital. I think, you know, every hotel we go for, thankfully they have table tennis tables, pool tables, all that kind of stuff set up for us. The PS4 is provided and all that kind of thing. So, no, it's like team bonding, really, isn't it? I remember when we were away in Russia, we decided to set up our own FIFA tournament, so everyone the team got involved, everyone the team got a team, and obviously the teams are pulled out of the
hat. Brian was knocked out first round.
Brian was knocked out first round, and I was knocked out first round as well. So,
shock, I didn't get knocked out first round. So.
No. Who won?
Johnny won the affalad.
But I got Johnny in the first round, and he got Real Madrid, and I was Roma. So.
And Andy celebrated losing.
Yeah, no, listen, it was 2-0, and I scored, and I thought I was going to win it, but I had everyone camped behind the ball. I was playing 11 men behind the ball. And got a goal on the counter attack, and thought I may win it, but it wasn't to be. So, but as I said, it's a great exercise for team bond and all them kind of stuff. So it does bring us together as a group, yeah.
Okay, men. Lastly, we'll finish on the football and the European Championships begin for Ireland. As I mentioned, Ireland playing in Group B against Norway on Monday of next week, which is this day next week, in fact, because we're recording on Monday. France next Thursday, and the final game against the Czech Republic on Sunday week. That's the 21st of July in Group B of the Under-19 European Championship finals in Armenia. In the other group, it is, if I can find my sheet of paper, where is Group A gone to? I've lost it, have I? There it is. Italy, Portugal, Spain and Armenia are in Group B. Oisin, you first. And you're not allowed to say it's going to be a tough tournament or we have to play our best. So no clichés. But
it's <He's> struggling now.
It's eight teams. So if you finish in the top two, it's straight to the semi-finals. And, you know, you've won 6 out of 6. So I'm sure head there and try and repeat defeat.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think everyone kind of knows we're all absolutely buzzing for the tournament. So I think everyone's going to be switched on from the first whistle. Even from when we get to the airport tomorrow, everyone kind of has their kind of game faces on, because we know it's such an important tournament that not many people get to this tournament, especially if you're from a country like Ireland. Like, I feel that this team has done really well to get here. So we're in the last 8 of Europe. Really, anything can happen, because if we get out of our group, we are in a straight semi-finals. So I think anything can happen. And I think we're confident in our abilities, in each other and in ourselves, that we could match anyone, really.
Brian, Oisín managed no cliches. What's your own thoughts on the games, being in goal, hopefully keeping some clean sheets and helping your team as you have done to pick up some more wins and, as Oisín said, make the last four in your game from a final?
Yeah, definitely. The clean sheet would be, I think, especially going into tournament football, clean sheets would be essential. Big team, because it makes it very difficult to lose. You'd have to go to penalties or whatever to lose. So I think definitely, without being cliche, I'm just thinking of the first game, because winning the first game will set you up in the group, especially because at 17s we didn't win the first game and it was a very uphill task. We still managed to get through, but by the skin of our teeth. So I think definitely against Norway, we've got to go and try and win the first game 100%. And then if you get through the group, as you said, it's two games away from winning the European Championships, but have to focus on the group first.
Andy?
Yeah, no, as Brian said, I think it is massive. It's a massive opportunity, I think, first and foremost. You know, going over to play, as Oisín said, in the top eight in Europe, you're one of the best teams in Europe, top eight anyway. So, you know, if you come through the group, it's going to be, you know, if you come through the group, you get into the semi-final stage, and then, you know, it's anyone's real luck, isn't it? So, no, but I think already in the previous rounds, in the qualifying rounds, we've put ourselves up against the best in Europe, and we've shown that we're good enough to go and do well in the tournament. As Brian said, clean sheets are vital, and as a defender, and obviously the goalkeeper, that's massive. I think we've only conceded four goals in the six previous games in qualifying the elite stages, so you know, clean sheets and obviously the attackers will do the scoring for us, but you know, clean sheets will be massive, and defending well will be massive in these tournaments. Yeah,
Andy Lyons, Brian Maher, Oisín McEntee of the Ireland Under 19 said, begin the European Championships tomorrow in Armenia. It's going to be 32 degrees at kickoff time. They play Norway to 3:45 kickoff Irish time, and it's live on RTE2. Now that's it for another week of the show. We are totally out of time. Thanks to all of our guests and to Nathan and Kieran behind the scenes. More in the podcast section of 98FM.com. And we're back next Sunday, folks. Have a great day. See you. Bye bye.
98FM's. Now that's what I call sport. With the Liverpool Football Club Store, Ilex Centre. 98FM.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, folks. Bye bye.
98FM's. Now that's what I call sport. Get the full show every Sunday morning from 9. Only on 98FM.